Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of Geek Cave Podcast Comics. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad.
And we are reunited, and it feels so good.
Oh, yeah.
Comics, Justin.
Yeah.
It's your segment.
Yes, it is. What do you got?
By the way, we're brought to you by Shirtosaurus, GameStop, and BuzzTime. Comics.
Thanks for forgetting our sponsors.
I remembered them.
What a dick.
Anyway.
This is utterly ricoculous.
Penis.
Darren. No.
Jeez. This is why we can't actually bring him anywhere.
You need to go sit in the re-education corner.
Can I give you what I have first?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So to start with, the story that has been dominating all the headlines.
Hail Hydra.
Yeah, Hail Hydra.
Steve. Oh, man, that sounds awful. Don't you mean like Hail Hydro? You know, it's a green, expandable energy. So it's domestic, even. It solves all of our energy problems.
So Steve Rogers, Captain America, number one. Basically, Marvel attempting to kind of direct the conversation away from DC Universe Rebirth, and they did so pretty handily. Spoiler alert, if you were somehow off Facebook or Twitter or anything for the past couple weeks, at the end of the issue, we get this backstory that we see that when Steve was 12, his mom was visited by someone who, you know, like when people go door to door and they want to talk to you about their religious beliefs, you know,
yeah. Like vacuum cleaner salesman?
Kinda, yeah. Picture that, except it's
all hail the power of the Hoover.
Picture that, except it's
have you accepted Rainbow as your savior?
Except it's a woman dressed as a flapper, because it's like 20s, 30s. She saves Steve Rogers' mom from their abusive father figure, and then goes on to give her a tract, a gospel tract, if you will, for Hydra. So it turns out that for the past 70, 80, however many years, Steve Rogers knew the good part of Hydra, that they help people. And so at the end of Captain America, Steve Rogers, number one, he seemingly murders one of his fellow teammates, helps to kidnap a scientist, and the last panel is Steve Rogers saying, Hail Hydra. And Marvel has said this is not a trick. He's not brainwashed. This is Steve Rogers, and the whole internet proceeded to crap its own pants.
Because, of course, this couldn't be a stunt of any kind.
No, especially with like their main competitor releasing a big book at the same time.
And a whole bunch more movies coming out over the next few years.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I think it's a grammatical error. I think it should be hail, period. Like, look, there's hail over there.
And then Hydra exclamation point, because there's one right behind the guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Copy editors are shit these days.
You know, there is, to play devil's advocate for just a moment.
Okay.
Just because I was thinking about this, and just assume for a moment that Steve Rogers is full on Hydra.
Yeah, and apparently being, has been. Yeah.
Yeah, not being some kind of quadruple agent or something, just full on Hydra. In order to make that work with all of the years of backstory of him fighting Hydra,
yeah,
it comes down to he is the protector of Hydra's core. All these people that rise up that he fights against beats.
They're screwing it up, yeah.
Yeah, it's basically his way of strengthening Hydra. Because if just one guy, granted one super soldier guy,
yeah,
can go in and lay waste to all these plans over so many years, clearly they have some work to do.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, there were a lot of fans that were upset considering that Captain America was invented by two Jewish guys, and Hydra has predominantly been associated with Nazis. So they had a problem with that, although the writer Tom Brevoort says, no, it's not anti-Semitic. We don't see Hydra as associated with the Nazis, even though they've done that in the movies and the comics and the TV shows and whatever. I guess he didn't see any of those things. It's fine.
Well, just because you associate next to doesn't necessarily mean you are.
Yeah, but I mean, they worked with the Nazis. You know, they were a branch of the Nazis.
Are they a branch of the Nazis, or are they using the Nazis for their own ends? I get the impression that Hydra doesn't really give one whit as to your religious background or even racial background, so long as you're intelligent and willing to cross a line here or there. Well, the Nazis were the ones crossing the most lines.
Yeah.
And so they were just kind of a means to... I understand the argument.
Right.
I do. I get it. I'm just, like I said, kind of devil's advocating a little bit. Just because that's kind of what... that's what the issue was really meant to do, is to get people talking.
Right. And I wasn't as upset. I mean, I was annoyed more than anything. I don't think I was upset by the move.
Darren was upset that the Blues lost conference.
I was.
He was dismayed.
Yes.
By the Captain America thing.
No. I was dismayed the Blues lost the Western Conference Finals, but as far as Captain America goes, I recognized it for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
A publicity stunt, and let's be honest, this is comics we're talking about. It's not going to be the status quo. Steve Rogers has at least one more movie coming out. There's no way that he's a member of Hydra. It's just some kind of shenanigans are going to go on. He was brought back to full strength, because remember, he was an old man leading into this book. He was brought back to full strength by
some kind of deus ex machina.
The cosmic cube. Remember the Tesseract from now the cube has a body. It's a little girl walking around and doing cube shit. And she restored him. But we already know that the cube is usually used for evil. So it might be a duplicate Steve Rogers. He might have something that has happened to his brain chemistry. Who knows? But I give it 6 issues, 12 tops, before they revert back.
All right, well, I look forward to Steve Rogers, Agent of Hydra, issue 2.
Should be fun. I mean, it should be at least a nice little spin on things. You know, because no one ever thinks of Steve Rogers as the bad guy. So, it's a nice
little
twist.
That's because of poor writing during the first Civil War arc.
You stop. Cap was the good guy in that one.
That's what I'm saying, is if they had had better writing for Civil War, not Civil War 2, because I haven't read anything about that yet.
It starts shortly after this podcast goes up.
Okay. So, Civil War, then we would have been able to see Tony as having just as valid a response, and there would have been people who would have seen Cap as the bad guy.
Right.
Or at least as the unreasonable holdout.
And I could see that argument for aspects of the... that, and we'll get into the movie as well, and I'm sure we'll have a lot.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
We have to cover at least an hour and a half.
Who says?
That's how long we spent on Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice.
Batman v Superman was also like a 3-hour movie.
I'm just saying, will be.
Sources have informed me that we have to spend at least equal amount of time.
I got a note
from the network. They need.
Wait, TuneIn contacted you because.
We're not going to take it anymore.
We're on TuneIn now, by the way, folks. Okay, well, does this count? Because we talked about Cap a little bit, you know?
I sure hope so.
Maybe like a
cumulative. We're just going to have to talk about Captain America in all 3 segments for like 25 minutes.
Ooh.
Yeah, that works. That
I guess we can put that on our E3 wish list for the gaming podcast as like another Captain America game.
So. I did like the original.
Yeah, it was good. Comixology is doing a Netflix-ish service.
Yep.
I saw that.
But the big two are not on it. DC and Marvel not participating.
Of course.
So if you want like the unlimited comics, you'll get IDW and Image and a few of the others. You know, Rocket Lab's pretty fun. Or Action Lab, sorry.
Action Lab. I love their logo.
It's the best logo. That's launching. But really, as crazy as Captain America Steve Rogers number one was, I think the biggest story is still probably DC Universe Rebirth. and not just as a DC fanboy, Jeff Johns recommend saying that if you didn't like this book, mail it to him. He will cut you a check. He will pay you back for the book. That's how confident he is. And this is DC essentially doing what Bryan Singer did when he took over with X-Men with X-Men Days of Future Past, fixing shit, essentially.
Yarp.
Justin and I have both read it. Chad's going to read it after we tape.
Yeah, Chad, earmuffs.
Yeah. But basically, for those of you who have been...
We're not gonna take
that. Yeah,
who've been following closely, DC it. Rebirth is we're essentially the, you know, the company understanding that the fans don't want to take it anymore with the dark and the gritty and
we've
the...
We've got the right to choose.
The fact that the New 52 is kind of flopped.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing to come out of the New 52... was probably Snyder's Batman run.
Yeah.
And even then we had Robobat. So, you know, it is what it is. But DC Rebirth brings back a number of beloved characters. You've got Aqualad. You've got Ted Kord. Dr. Fate looking like Dr. Fate again. You've got Wally West.
Yep.
Which he's going to be sharing a universe with the other Wally West. There's like the red-haired white guy and now the black Wally West. Apparently, they're cousins with the same name. That's how they explain it away. I'm fine with it. They bring the Watchmen into the DC canon as well. And Pandora, that character that was so important for... what was it? The Trinity War?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's dead. So that's cool.
She had four panels. Last one was her going poof.
Yeah, and if you saw how she goes poof, you instantly know who the villain, or not really villain, antagonist is how Jeff Johns is putting it. See, the whole story behind Rebirth is Wally West remembers what the DC universe was like before the New 52 happened. He knows, because he's been like stuck in the Speed Force, but he's been trying to make a connection with someone living in the New 52. Apparently after the Flashpoint paradox when Wally disappeared and all this other stuff happened, someone... rebuilt the universe using that paradox as an excuse and took 10 years away from everybody. That's why all the DC heroes were only active for like 5 years when we started up the New 52 and why most of them were flawed or making stupid mistakes. It's because someone's been mucking literally with their lives. Wally is able to make contact with Barry Allen, the original Flash, who... thank God Barry remembered him because he was about to die because Speed Force too long. Barry remembers him, pulls him out of the Speed Force, and now we have the start of a 2-year initiative that Jeff Johns says is going to restore hope and optimism to the DC universe. And that includes books like Superman and Batman coming out twice a month, Green Lantern as well, $2.99 each, but twice a month, so you're paying $6 essentially a month. If you want to follow your favorite character. And the Rebirth storyline is going to follow every book. There's going to be a little bit of stuff here and there. But again, massive spoilers. If you haven't read DC Universe Rebirth, the antagonist is Dr. Manhattan from Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of Watchmen, Dr. Manhattan left his universe to see if he could go create life elsewhere. If you remember that. But instead of creating life elsewhere, what Dr. Manhattan apparently has been doing is just kind of playing around with the building blocks of the DCU instead. Just kind of poking around in their reality. I guess experimenting, whatever. So I'm excited for it. Alan Moore's probably pissed off. But I look forward to, well, he's kind of been a jerk to other comic writers lately anyway. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with it. I know Justin is being cautiously optimistic.
Lately, I'm approaching all big things comic book related, whether it's movies or big stuff like this. I'm approaching it with an air of caution. If it looks good, great. However, I've been burned before.
Yes, yes, we both have.
So I'm just going to go, okay, I will give you a try.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
My two favorite parts of Rebirth. And this kind of stretches into Superman 52. I guess three. The Three Jokers revelation. But we're going to talk about that in a little bit as well. The original Superman is back.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. We can finally have some smiles and hope again. And instead of this, although Superman, New 52 Superman's death was fairly anticlimactic. It was essentially when Max Landis described him dying in Death and Return of Superman as bleh, that was pretty much it. And three, the return of not Wally West, but Ted Kord.
Hmm.
Ted Kord as Blue Beetle. And just, we only get a page of him, but he is so freaking chipper. And he wants to do this superhero thing so bad, and he's looking forward to it. And Dr. Fate's like, you're screwing around with magic. And Ted just puts on his goggles. He's like, magic? You know, with this big smile on his face. And I'm like, yes, thank you, Jeebus. This is what I wanted. So I'm looking forward to it. If they can keep that going. And again, Johns is not writing any further Rebirth stuff. Johns has now been moved over to the movie wing. So he's pretty much done as far as writing for DC, at least for now, comic-wise. So everyone's going to have to follow his framework. And I just hope they do.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. So, I guess since I briefly touched on it, and the last thing I have is so there are a couple Jokers running around, maybe three.
You're not referring to the three of us sitting around this table, are you?
No, we don't run.
One of us runs.
I lumber.
Chad runs.
I will run, but only if being chased by something that will threaten my life.
Chad's the juggernaut, bitch. So, yeah.
Wait, he's the juggernaut, comma, bitch, or he's the juggernaut bitch?
Yes. He's got legs like tree trunks, man. You know, it's impressive. It really is.
That's your new nickname, tree trunks.
He can lap us very easily.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
Like, multiple times.
Usually just by sitting down.
If there is anyone among our circle of friends who is the Flash, it's Chad.
Which is sad on so many levels.
But during the Darkseid War storyline, Batman gets Metron's chair. And he asks the chair first, like, who killed my parents? Just to test it out. And the chair's like, Joe Chill. All right, cool. What's the Joker's real name? Which one? There were three. What? So.
How'd you miss that one, old man?
Yeah, when you look at the photos side by side, which they do in a very cool panel. In Rebirth, it's pretty obvious. Yeah, they're not the same guy. Justin, you're the bat expert.
Well, I mean, for years, you know, none of the characters have the same look due to artist interpretation. One artist doesn't draw the same as any others.
Oh, and Barry going back in time and fucking with shit.
Well, yeah, but I mean, just as a reader's perspective, you wouldn't take that the Joker doesn't look the same as anything important because it's art. And you've also got to understand or expect that, okay, when they did Crisis on Infinite Earths, things changed.
Yep.
When they did any of the crises, really, things tweaked a little bit. Flashpoint in the New 52, obviously a big shakeup. So there's a Joker. He kind of acts like this. Oh, big catastrophic time-altering event. Now there's a Joker
like this. Yeah.
Okay, that's just the new norm.
Right.
But now they're saying Batman knows that the Joker was like this and now like this and now like this. How did you not pick up?
Maybe it's part of both the Mobius chair, the Mosbius chair, as Chad called it. And
by Mosbius Designs.
See, that I think may have put a little bit of a crack in things. Kind of like, remember when Batman, for the OMAC project, eventually remembered someone had screwed with his head?
Yeah.
Maybe it's something like that. And Wally showing up in the Batcave in a very cool scene that reminded me of how it happened in Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice.
Except better.
And then at the end of DC Rebirth, when Batman finds the comedian's pin, bloodstain and everything on it, okay, there are some cracks at reality here. So it could be these are just different versions of the Joker from different universes. Or I do like the theory that it really is a dynasty. It's a Joker dynasty. Batman, you know, seemingly kills a Joker like every other year, where Joker falls off a building or falls into a pit or gets crushed in a, you know, underground cave. And then there's another Joker walking around. That's weird. Maybe they have like this little phone home thing where, like, if I don't call every 36 hours, put on the makeup. I don't know.
I am the ninth of the Jokers.
Yeah, I don't know what would be more fun. The Mobius chair realizing that there's multiple realities at play and that there have been three distinct Jokers.
Yeah.
In an ever-changing timeline or a dynasty. I don't know what's more interesting.
Yeah. It does create some good thought though.
And if we are dealing with the three different timelines and the three distinct Jokers, Batman didn't ask, you know, okay, if there's three Jokers, how many Batman are there? Yeah. Is there a Batman per Joker kind of thing? Or is Bruce constantly shifting and being him through each of these?
Yeah. Good questions.
Yeah. So it's worth the $2.99 to pick up, or, you know, free to borrow from a friend who's already shelled out the $2.99. Thank you again, Darren,
you're welcome,
by the way.
You're welcome.
And I'm sure Chad will thank you later after he reads it.
I'm certain he will. Of course, he'll probably be the one of us that reads it and goes, "This is trash." And he just sets it on fire before giving it back.
This that is utter shite.
Man, that would be rude.
And they'd be like, "That's okay. I got the variant edition too." So,
of course you did. Mm. Of course you did.
I love me some DC. Yeah. What can I say?
It is worth picking up just to see kind of where they're going.
All right. Well, that's all I got.
All right, Chad, you got anything?
Nope.
Nothing?
Nope.
Not a damn thing?
Not a damn thing.
What good are you?
Very little.
All right.
I can make an excellent breakfast, though.
This he can.
He can make a fantastic breakfast, yes.
Yes, he can.
Sausage, gravy, bacon.
Yeah, your biscuits and gravy are to die for. In fact, when my cholesterol kicks in, that will probably be the cause of my death.
That's fair. We're doing what we love. Eating pig. So...
we weren't supposed to eat it. It shouldn't have been so delicious.
I know, mm-hmm. Right? It's a magical animal. Anyway, what you got?
Oh, well, as true to form, it's time for the long box.
Yes!
You get so excited about it, and I always feel like I have to live up to this standard, and I never do.
Don't worry, it's showmanship. No, I really am excited.
It's marketing.
I really am excited for it because
Darren will be the first up against the wall when the remote comes.
No, I'm just going to use whatever Justin puts in his long box toward one of my other podcasts. So, you know, I outsource.
So you're stealing from me?
It's not stealing. It's mining.
It's plagiarism at best.
It's not yeah.
Plagiarism. It's the secret to success in most businesses.
I'm borrowing.
Plagiarize. Let no one else's work evade your eyes. So don't shade your eyes, just plagiarize.
But I've already done a Black Panther one, so.
Always please call it research.
Well, that's good for you because my long box is about Darren Dick Wright. You know, well, the guy from Valiant.
Name's Richard?
Is he a Valiant character?
He's a Valiant character.
Yeah, all right, that's why I've never heard of him. Sorry, Valiant fans.
He's the bastard son of...
Go on. I want to see just how far this rabbit
hole
goes.
He has no marketable superpowers.
Nope. I have the power to endure criticism.
Except radio voice. Because he has the face for radio, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's very ugly. Anyway.
Now, bear in mind, we did say marketable superpowers.
Yeah, no market. I've got plenty of unmarketable ones. Yeah. None of which will be referenced.
After
at this point,
Chimichanga right? Night, he can clear a room in 10 seconds flat.
You got that right. Anyway.
Anyway. So yeah, as Darren spoiled the surprise, Black Panther.
Chances are, if they read the summary for this podcast, they already knew. But go ahead.
That's why I don't tell you shit ahead of time.
Continue.
Anyway. It's like, what are you doing this week? I don't know. I'll make something up.
That is literally what he said.
Yeah, literally. I don't know.
We're lucky to get
him. I do it on the day.
We're lucky to get him here sometimes.
This month, I didn't even send a reply.
Just He didn't. No.
Generally, I don't.
They're all showing up to my cave this month. I'll tell them when they get here.
Yeah, I just thought you guys didn't care. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, we care.
We just don't want our email back.
We care. We just don't care.
That actually made sense.
It's not that we don't care. We just don't care.
Yeah.
I actually care about not caring a little bit.
All right.
I don't even care about not caring.
But I don't care about caring.
I don't think our audience cares for this conversation.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Moving
T'Challa.
On. Yes. So
the queue is silent.
So Black Panther was created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. He first appeared in Fantastic Four 52.
A couple of white guys creating a black guy and call him Black Panther. Racist. Anyway.
Super racist.
Anyway, back in July of 66 was when he first appeared.
Okay.
And he
wasn't that when Batman was showing up on TV?
Maybe. Maybe. Interesting side note. Are you done?
Maybe. I'm just saying. I wonder. You know, Black Batman and the African Wakanda.
Jungle, yeah.
You want to read my notes?
No, he was actually.
No, your writing is atrocious.
He was actually
exactly. Was actually so shut up and let me decipher it.
He was in a series called Jungle Adventures. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, really? Black Panther was in a series called Jungle Adventures.
I was not going to mention that because it seemed rude.
No, if we want to go through the whole history, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Anyway.
Oh, God. No. There's so many bad jokes now. It's
stop.
Just...
Restrain.
Yeah, carry on.
Anyway. He actually, the comic book character Black Panther actually predates the Black Panther group by like 4 months.
Those unoriginal bastards.
They officially came into being in October of 66. And for a brief while, Black Panther went by Black Leopard to avoid any connotation to the party. But as it turns out, nobody at Marvel and none of the fans thought it liked it. They thought it was shit, so they went back to Black Panther.
All right.
That's right and proper. Black Panther sounds cool.
He had the name first anyway, so.
And in addition, he is also the first black hero in mainstream American comics.
That's true.
I'm kind of waiting for there to be the reaction comic. You know, the guy from the nation of the European Northern European nation of Caucasia. He's going to be called the Snow Leopard.
Yeah,
the white dingo.
He steals babies.
Nom 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 nom. Nom.
I'm pretty sure my zoo just replaced our dingo with just a normal dog off the street. I can't prove it, but last time I went there, I'm like, I think I've seen that dog around the neighborhood.
Why does the dingo look like a dachshund?
Oh, it's a baby.
Oddly, Darren's zoo also has an alpaca called Alpacachino.
I love the fact that your zoo has a honey badger.
Yeah, we have two. And one of them gets busy. The other one sleeps through it.
The other one don't care?
No, the other one doesn't give a shit.
Well,
we've also got the dingo's name is Bartholomew.
Nice!
Bartholomew.
Yes.
Well, they couldn't say Bartholomew.
No, that's copyright, Mel Brooks.
Indeed.
Carry on.
He's his own best friend.
If it was a female, they would have called it Aretha Franklin. You're welcome.
Someone make a note of that. Someone make a note of that joke in particular, because we're going to do a contest based on that joke.
Oh.
Anyway.
Sorry. Still basking in that. That was good.
28 minutes in, I've made a note.
Stand proud. Stand proud.
All right. So, the title of Black Panther, it's not just one particular person. It's a title that's passed down through the ages.
Oh, yeah. Kind of like Joker.
Something like that, yeah. It's a ceremonial title given to the ruler of the African nation, Wakanda. It's a hereditary title, meaning it's passed from father to son, whatever, but it must be earned before given. They're not just like, well, dad's dead, you're now the new Black Panther. No, you got to train and go through trials and tribulations and before you're even deemed worthy to pick up the mantle.
So
of the cat.
Because you
meow.
Okay, so to make sense to me, so T'Challa, he has basically the hereditary gifts already, like he has the genetic disposition to being Black Panther, but he still has to earn the right to the suit. Or yeah. does he earn or does he have to earn the abilities proper?
It really depends on the writer.
Yeah.
Because they've
sometimes
done it both ways.
He has to earn the ability, sometimes he has to just earn the right.
They've done it both ways. Sometimes there's like a totem that he wears.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, yeah, he just kind of earns the right to be the Black Panther.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just curious. It's kind of like Constantine. It's one of those things where I know of a character, but I don't know anything about, really.
The animated movie Ultimate Avengers 2 mm-hmm. is a great gateway to Black Panther because it's mostly about him.
Well, that's good. Mind. Yeah. Wakanda, the African nation in which he hails from, is the only place on Earth where vibranium can be found. Eons ago, a meteorite crashed into it containing this ore, and when it was dug up, T'Challa's father, T'Chaka, realized, you know what, other people might want this, so we're going to keep it quiet. Wakanda is known for being a closed nation. They hold their borders very tight, no one in, no one out. You know, it's very secret and hush-hush. It's like Area 51.
Yeah.
T'Chaka's son, is the current Black Panther. But unlike previous kings of Wakanda, he started selling, when he came to power after his father died and became Black Panther, he started selling bits of vibranium to scientific industries and whatnot to amass a bigger fortune for his country and also advanced technology for his Black Panther escapades.
Yeah, Wakanda is like the most advanced, technologically advanced country in the Marvel Universe.
I mean, everything they make is made of vibranium. So
it's a little bit subversive when you think about how, generally speaking, race is portrayed in comic books for a closed country.
Well, Wakanda still has like the tribal aspects,
yeah.
But they've also got super tech. It's a nice little marriage.
Well, but that's what I'm saying is to be able to say, okay, this 60,000 year old culture is actually the single most advanced, you know, people culture, living culture in the world it's subversive. It's out of the ordinary for comics, especially.
It's a fun character.
Yeah. So he's attained the title of Black Panther, and then just because he can, he invites the Fantastic Four to come in to Wakanda, and then he fights them one-on-one to test himself to make sure he really is ready to be Black Panther.
That sounds like some Batman-level trolling there.
Yeah. And then in the end, they end up teaming him up to take care of Psycho Man.
Psycho Man.
Psycho Man, yes.
So the Joker.
I've never once said that there's not parallels between Black Panther and Batman. Rich guy with daddy issues dresses up
in it as a
Does
dark creature.
Does he have
creature.
Daddy issues?
Well, his father was killed. In that sense, you know.
Dead parent, rich guy.
Dead parents. Both of his parents
dead parents,
are dead.
Rich guy, highly trained athlete, peak physical condition.
Likes to dress up in animals that mostly come out at night.
Yeah. Kind of looks really badass on the cover of a comic book with rain and lightning in the background.
Mm-hmm. Or a heavy metal album.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Okay.
So, there's that.
Yeah.
That was his real first foray into the comics. He later goes on to join the Avengers
because he can.
Because he can, basically, yeah. He just like shows up at Stark Tower one day. Hi!
Yeah. And they're like, all right.
I'm not going to try an African accent because I feel that's rude.
No, yeah.
I'll try any Western European accent you want.
And some of the Eastern ones.
Possibly, yes. I could be Russian. It's not a big deal for me. Although that came out a bit British,
sorry. It's offensive.
It's offensive to me.
It's real easy to me.
It's real easy to me.
Bad Amy joke. Anyway.
Yeah. But after a while of being an active member of the Avengers, he suddenly realizes, oh shit, I've got a country to run. Leaves active membership and goes back to Wakanda, which is on the brink of civil war because they've had no ruler and a usurper is trying to come in.
You done fucked up.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
One. That's my one.
Yeah.
Does anyone else have the thought that that's exactly how Trump's presidency will be? Like, just at some point, he's going to be like, oh, shit, I've got a business to run. He's going to go back and find out that, Trump Enterprise has gone bankrupt.
We try to stay politic free, so that's your one for that.
All right.
It was funny, though. It was funny.
Yeah.
So
and again, we're punching up.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. But he manages to restore order and, you know, reclaims his rightful place on the litter box.
On the litter box.
I'm going with cat references.
I really wish that's what they called the Wakandan throne.
I know.
The box.
The box.
The jamboree.
Oh. During his training to become the Black Panther, he met a young Aurora Monroe, Storm, back when she was a young child as well, orphaned. They actually fell in love, but it didn't work out because of his decision to become Black Panther and maintain his training and all. You know, another Batman thing.
Yeah.
Kind of
love
a Jedi
you.
Thing.
Yeah, I love you, but I have this mission that I have to...
I love justice more.
Yeah. However, years later... she came to him for help looking for her lost family, which she thought was dead, but, you know, is still out there. Rekindled their relationship, which led to marriage.
Yeah, if only it lasted.
Yeah.
What ended it?
Avengers versus X-Men.
Pretty much, yeah.
Hmm.
Good story, though. Yeah. Cyclops is a Nazi. Carry on.
Anyway. So they get married, and at one point, it almost seemed like it was on their honeymoon. They went on a diplomatic tour of the world, and they visited the President of the United States, Dr. Doom.
You know, head of Latveria.
Yeah, Namor, you know. Really, that was the only one that went well. Visit to Namor.
Well, they were used to his shit, so.
Which is weird, because cats don't like water.
Huh. Got me there. I guess Storm could have just, in her overdramatic way, been... You know, keeping the water at bay while they're on their way down. Like, wind! And just constantly saying that over and over.
I like to think that during their marriage, every time she pissed him off, she just flicked rain at him. Bad kitty husband. Bad kitty husband. during the Civil War storyline, which we'll get to in the movie segment, they sided with Cap, which is slightly different than what they did in the movies.
Yeah. Really, he was kind of on his own side in the movie, but we'll get to it.
Well, yeah. He had his own agenda.
He was more team anti-Bucky.
Anti-Bucky, yeah. during a... kind of after the Civil War storyline, he went back to Wakanda, and Storm stayed in New York to help the X-Men. He ended up getting into a battle with Dr. Doom, which put him in a coma for a while, passing the mantle on to his sister. She became the new ruler and the new Black Panther. When he woke up from his nap...
like a cat.
Yeah. He made a pact with an unknown panther deity. Seriously, it's just...
like a cat.
Big ass, yeah. You know, celestial panther. To return his abilities and allow him... a more high resistant to magical and mystic attack. So when he did the rematch with Dr. Doom, he was successful. Unfortunately, that battle also made all the processed vibranium in Wakanda inert.
Oh. That's unfortunate.
So they kind of had to rebuild without their dependency onto this element, which they've been using for decades.
Yikes.
Yeah. Good move there, Slick.
Bad kitty.
He basically took over as Daredevil for a while. After the Shadowland storyline, in which Matt Murdock was possessed by a demon.
And led the Hand.
The only way Matt could rid himself of it was to, quote, kill himself, which, you know, he faked his own death.
Oh, it's comics anyway.
It's comics,
so
yeah.
He'd have been back.
But he was asked by Murdock to... look after Hell's Kitchen, which he did for a while. He took on a different name and disguise and did that for a while. Then during A versus X, Avengers versus X-Men, for those who are unaware of the acronym, Wakanda ended up being destroyed by Namor, you know, just big wave.
Phoenix Force Namor was a bit more of a dick than normal Namor.
Which is saying
something. Yeah.
So Wakanda was destroyed. When Storm came back to help, she was shocked to find out that their marriage had been annulled.
Ta-da!
Honey, I'm home. No, you're not.
Well, I did die. So coma, I guess? Close enough.
Yeah. But
it's not you. It's not you.
It's not you. It's you. But Wakanda has been rebuilt, and he's still doing Panther shit.
Mm-hmm.
So
just launched a new solo title.
Yep.
It's doing well.
I hope it continues to do well. We could use some good representation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a great character, and he's been able to endure for 40 years now. 50 mm-hmm. years now.
Yeah.
People don't realize that Black Panther's been around for as long as he has.
Mm-hmm.
So, and...
Yeah. I was unaware he came about in the 60s. So.
Yeah, and when we get to the movie segment, we'll talk about how well he was done. He was done really well. Probably one of the best characters in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll get to that in a bit. Do you guys have anything else?
Nope.
Mm-mm.
All right. We will wrap it there for the comics podcast. Don't forget to download the gaming and movies as well. And, of course, don't forget to check us out on Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and, of course, dkpodcast.com. And we'll see you guys with the gaming episode. Please download it. Otherwise, you'll make me sad.